If the book business were a big yellow school bus, the driver would be a bald fellow wearing a wide grin. More than ever before, Jeff Bezos and Amazon have the wheel, while publishers hang on for a rough ride. And if you thought individual Kindle ebook sales made for headaches and car sickness, then you better watch out for Kindle Unlimited subscription service. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Speculation about the end game in Amazon's ebook sales battle with Hachette centers on the impact for authors, a group that Amazon has said the publisher is using like human shields in this price war. Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, reports from the front lines for us every Friday, and he joins me now. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, it's good to have you back. This is really quite the remarkable story. It just keeps going and twists and turns in that very rough road that I described. So another week, another chapter, and this week, apparently a bid by Amazon to convince authors that it is working in their interests and not against them. So what's going on?
Yes, indeed. You know, this week we learned that Amazon officials reached out to speak with author Douglas Preston, who's been a vocal critic of the company's tactics and an organizer of other authors. And again, Amazon made an offer that they clearly know is unacceptable. Now, you'll recall a few weeks ago, we discussed a proposal from Amazon that would have had Amazon and Hachette dedicating 100% of the revenue from sales of their ebooks to authors. Well, this time, apparently, Amazon officials reached out to Preston and suggested a what-if scenario in which Amazon would return to servicing Hachette titles, but until a deal was reached, each company would turn its profits over to a literacy charity. So we can just cut to the chase here. This proposal, like the previous proposal from Amazon, is more or less a stunt, and pretty obviously so, despite Amazon's claims otherwise. And at this point, I have to say the authors, which have formed a group called Authors United, are contributing to the media circus, and in my personal estimation, they may even end up hurting, not helping the cause. Because every time the story hits the deadline, it allows Amazon to drive home its key point here, which is that, you know, the point that an Amazon official actually repeated to PW this week, and his point is that Hachette is part of a major corporate conglomerate, too. I think by now the reality should have settled in for everybody here that this affair is really only going to be concluded through business negotiations between the principals, which is Amazon and Hachette. You know, this week we saw some research from Peter Hildick-Smith, who does excellent work, in which he suggested from a survey that there was some perhaps effect on Amazon customers, with a small number saying they are buying less books from the e-tailer. But I think you have to look awfully hard to see that as indicative of a public mandate for the publishers in this case. You know, Hildick-Smith asks whether this, you know, general erosion for Amazon is going to spur publishers and authors to ramp up their outreach to the public. But ramp up how? I mean, we know how the media works. You know, as this story drags on, it's probably going to get less attention, barring some disastrous development, rather than more attention. You know, and meanwhile, I'm not sure that these wealthy, best-selling authors of commercial fiction under the United Authors United letterhead are the best messengers to the public. You know, these authors include Lee Child and Stephen King and John Grisham and David Baldacci and James Patterson, to name a few, and they're really kind of the one percenters. On the other hand, you have this letter petition supporting Amazon that's gotten over 7 times the number of author signatures as the Authors United letter. It's gotten over 7,500 signers, I believe, at this point. Now, I certainly don't mean to discount Preston's perspective here or the perspective of commercial authors. I think my point here is this, that they're probably not going to be helpful in brokering a deal here, and they may even be helping Amazon to make its larger public relations point. You know, to more than a few outside observers, Amazon is making it look like these authors are fighting more for corporations, the corporations that cut their advance checks more specifically, and, you know, who want higher prices rather than supporting reading. So at some point, I think the authors might consider exactly what's going on here.
Oh, indeed. And, you know, at this point, too, it's becoming clearer, a point you've made already at least a couple of times, that there's more than just margins driving the impasse between Amazon and Hachette. And To wit, we've got announcements last week, about Amazon's new subscription service for ebooks, so-called Kindle Unlimited. And already the knives are out for that program. In Monday's issue, the Publishers Weekly is going to look at the subscription models and their impact on the business. And tell us a bit of a preview on that.
Yeah, so as you're at last week, Amazon unveiled its Kindle Unlimited subscription service. And already we're seeing a raft of articles in the media trying to calculate how, you know, Amazon is going to try to screw over writers under this plan and whether it's going to create second-class authors or, you know, well, you get the picture. The knives are out, as you say. And, you know, we're just over a week in and the speculation is pretty thick. So in Monday's issue, we're going to try to cut through that a little bit with pretty much a straight-up look at the various subscription models that are out there, the Oysters and the Scribs, and the terms that they offer to authors. And I have to say, like, it makes me laugh a little right now because, you know, obviously there are some issues with subscription. And I don't mean that as a pun. You know, it's like the old, I'm shocked to find gambling in this establishment. I mean, we can see how musicians are being compensated under Pandora or Spotify and how they're generally unhappy with that. Generally, artists under subscription models and music are getting hammered pretty hard. And the subscription providers, on the other hand, seem to be doing okay. So we're right to be concerned and to be cautious about subscriptions, but I think we should take a deep breath. Because, you know, for a lot of these authors, the books that we're talking about aren't making any money under the old regime either. Now, how does this all tie into Amazon and Hachette? Well, as I have said before on this program, I think subscription has always been the direction Amazon wants to move in for ebooks because they have this great Kindle device and they have this installed user base and they want readers on that device and using it and reading all the time. And this is really the way to do it. I mean, after all, you know, this is the way we get almost all of the content on our devices these days anyway, through a subscription model. So really, why should books be any different? And I think the terms of negotiation with Hachette, that is sort of part of a strategy that they would unveil its subscription model right in the middle of this. While the major publishers and big name authors are waging this very public battle over the terms of sale for individual ebooks, I would strongly caution that observers, we not overlook the vital role subscription models are going to play going forward in the ebook world. Let's not get caught up fighting over the past. And by the past, I mean traditional ebook sales. I mean, let's not make the mistakes of 2007 all over again. You'll remember in 2007, when the Kindle first launched, publishers had essentially ceded the ebook market to Amazon. And the publishers still largely saw themselves as, you know, purveyors of print books. Well, you see how that worked out. So I would hope we have learned a lesson from those early days of ebooks and that we would seek to empower other subscription providers in this market and be a little more cautious with how we proceed with Amazon. That consumers really do want to read on a subscription model could be a real boon to publishers if they choose to find ways to meet that demand and in a way that they can manage rather than empowering other providers who have their own interests more at heart. But, you know, it's early days and I think big changes are coming again for digital readers. So we'll be paying close attention to that at PW.
And in that regard, with publishers looking to control their own destiny, we had some news this week from HarperCollins that it's begun working with a company called Bitlet to explore bundling ebooks.
Yeah, and I think we'll be exploring this much more in PW in the coming days and weeks, too. But, you know, I think this piece of news has been drowned out a little bit, but I think it's an exciting step. You know, Bitlet is a Canadian venture that offers ebook editions of print titles either free or at discounted prices via an app. And you know, I think it's a very limited program at this point. HarperCollins is launching the pilot with just six titles. But I think it speaks to serving consumers who, when they buy a book to read, they want to be able to read it anywhere on any device. Now, obviously, you can't rip your books like you can your CDs onto your other devices. And I think for book readers, that's been a real frustration. But if you had a good, cheap, value-added option to buy a book and to read it digitally or in print, that makes sense to me. It's still early days, as I said, and you really can't blame publishers for, you know, in the beginning, wanting two bites at the apple, right? They wanted ebooks and they wanted book sales. But with the advent of streaming content, consumers expect more. Consumers expect better. And in the future, I think we'll just be talking about books, or rather, we'll just be talking about reading, and the container will matter at least a little less, if not, you know, a lot less. So we'll be keeping an eye on this one, too, as it goes forward. But, you know, an exciting development there in terms of bundling.
Indeed, I think you make good points there, Andrew. And do keep us informed of what's going on there. And let us know if they get a better name for the company than Bitlet.
Yeah,
I should think they could do better than that.
I'm sure they're open to suggestions at this point. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we can start a contest here and Beyond the Book. Andrew Albany, Senior Writer for Publishers Weekly, thanks so much for joining us this week.
My pleasure as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.